Bela Kiss was born in 1877. He moved to the Hungarian town of Sinkata in 1900. This was long before the town was absorbed into Budapest. He worked as a tinsmith, although we don't know much else about him beyond that. He rented a home in a cozy neighborhood, and he lived alone. He was alone because his wife Maria, a woman 15 years younger than him, had reputedly found herself a lover, and the pair had run off together in 1912, leaving Kish to carry on by himself. As a result, Kish hired an elderly housekeeper named Mrs. Jekabek to come in and take care of the cleaning and the chores while he worked. He gave her a tour of the house, he pointed out all the important features, and he walked her through her responsibilities. His private office, though, was off limits. And that was where he sat and corresponded with his lady friends. His housekeeper had seen some of the sealed envelopes on their way to the post office, but had never actually had the opportunity to read them. And Kish occasionally brought home a young woman, but they never came back for a repeat visit. Maybe he had commitment issues, or maybe they didn't care for him once they saw him in person. It was hard to say for sure. Mr. Kish thought that political change was coming, though, and he told others that he wanted to be prepared. He'd gone as far as to collect metal drums and said he was filling the large barrels with gasoline, just in case. And by 1914, he was proven right. World War I broke out, and he was required to enlist and serve in the military. He handed his house keys to the housekeeper and told her to take care of the place. And then, 2 years went by. Eventually, the landlord decided he was probably never going to see Bela Kiss again and began the process of making the home available for rent to a new tenant. He traveled to the home in July of 1916 and immediately found the barrels of gasoline. After 2 years of war, it didn't take a genius to recognize a valuable commodity, so he called the local police department to make the fuel available to the government. Maybe he asked for payment, or maybe he donated it in an effort to earn some goodwill. We don't know his motivation, but we do know the outcome. Soldiers arrived at the house to take possession of the fuel drums, but wanted to inspect them before hauling them off. So one of the soldiers poked a hole in the lid of the drum, and then backed away. The odor that escaped was powerful and full of the scent of decay and rot. It wasn't gasoline. That much was immediately clear. And so they opened the drum and drained it. Inside, they found the body of a woman. They drained another drum and found another body. Over and over, body after body, more and more women were discovered, each the victim of strangulation. All told, 24 bodies were found on the property, 22 strangers, his wife, and her lover. The housekeeper was called in for questions, and although she didn't know any more than the police did, she did point them to his private office door, the door she'd never been allowed to unlock. So the police got inside. On the surface, it was very office-like. Bookshelves lined the walls, and a desk sat in the middle of the room. But in the desk, the police found a journal of his correspondence with over 74 women, along with a photo album and some letters that were never mailed. Some used false names, and some went as back as far as 1903. Kish, it seems, had been living a secret life. He'd been writing women who posted in the marriage columns of the local newspapers, luring them to his home, and then killing them. And no one had ever suspected a thing. Of course, calls to the military were made, looking for the man, but there was no immediate information. And then, in October of that year, the military sent word that Kish was recuperating in a Serbian hospital. Officers were sent to capture him, but by the time they got there, Kish had somehow managed to place another man's corpse in his own bed and slipped out of the building. He was never seen again. Or maybe not. 4 years later, a French soldier encountered a man who used one of Kish's false names. A man who bragged that he was pretty good at strangling people. A man who looked a lot like the description of Bela Kiss. Police were alerted, but the man managed to disappear before they arrived. In 1932, a man who fit his description was seen stepping out of the subway station in Times Square in New York City. A police detective with a photographic memory claimed he recognized the man from old photos, but couldn't get close enough because of the crowd. 4 years later, someone reported that a man who looked just like Kish was working as a janitor in an apartment building on 6th Avenue. Police were sent to look into it, but when they arrived, the janitor was gone. After that, his trail went cold. One last detail. There was something odd about each of the victims found in those fuel barrels that day in 1916. Yes, they'd been strangled to death, but they all shared another wound. Right where you might expect it, each victim had twin puncture marks on the side of their necks. When the bodies were further examined, one last clue was found. Each woman had been completely drained of blood.